So this week, I had a really, really busy, busy day. Who else in here has busy days? Yeah, okay, everybody should raise their hand, to be honest. You know, I had written some meal plans, led a workout, wrote a workout, recorded some videos, coached some clients, cooked some dinner, went to an award show for my son Logan, missed a band concert for my son Adrian, washed dishes, cleaned up. It was long. It was busy. Great. I have an awesome life. I love my life. I am not complaining at all. But when the end of the day came, all I wanted to do was unwind. So, got ready for bed, crawled into bed, got my phone, because that's what we do, right? Got on Facebook, because I needed to connect with my friends, right? So I started scrolling. I was just going to spend a couple minutes, I promise. Well, I had to like that post, had to comment on that picture. All of a sudden, Facebook's like, you need to friend this person. So, do I just friend them? No. I have to go investigate or stalk their profile to see if that's really a person I want to be connected with on social media, right? Start digging in, realize, they went to Guatemala 10 years ago. I love Guatemala. Had to comment on all their pictures and their albums, friend them, start a Facebook Messenger conversation, ask them 10,000 questions. And before I knew it, my 5 minutes of getting connected with my friends and unwinding, I had unknowingly and unintentionally completely drained my social energy tank. And there sat Trevor, right next to me, like probably inches away from me, had not spoken to him, had not connected with him, and I had nothing left. I was going to sleep. Today, we're going to talk about getting face-to-face with our peers or our friends. My name is Michelle Yorick. Justin said that earlier. And we have been in this series called Face-to-Face for the past 4 weeks. And we have talked about getting face-to-face with our enemies, our children, our spouses. And then last week, Kyle brought us a message on getting face-to-face with unbelievers. So the series scripture that we've been really focused on through this is 1 Corinthians 13:12, and scriptures should pop up on the screen for you. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So what the scripture talks to me or says to me is that while we're here on this earth, it's like we're looking in one of the old polished metal mirrors, right? It wasn't clear and bright. It's very dim. You can kind of see, but it's not very clear, right? That's what it's like when we're living here on earth. But one day, we're going to have the privilege of sitting at the feet of our amazing God and looking at him face to face. And when we get that face-to-face interaction, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be clear as a stinking veil, right? That is what the scripture says to me. And the cool thing is, it's the same with our relationships. All right, we can have online relationships. We can talk to people through text message, through emailing, through even phone calls, right? But when you get face to face, belly to belly with someone, everything's crystal clear, right? You know what's going on in their life. You know what's happening. People can hide behind a computer screen or even a phone. They can hide what's truly going on in their life. But when you get face to face, you can't hide those things. Now, if you know me, you know I'm a science geek, all right? I love to study how things work, why they're doing what they're doing. I love science. So with your permission, I'm going to go into a little bit of scientific stuff for just a moment. Do I have your permission? Okay, good. Because here's the thing, even if you said no, I was doing it, because they gave me a microphone, and when that happens, who knows what's going to happen. So our brains can fully distinguish between if we are having an online friendship or if we're having an offline friendship. It knows the difference. That is not the problem. Okay, so you know earlier when I shared the story about I got stuck in the scroll hole and ignored my husband who was sitting 2 inches from me because I had drained my energy? Here's where the problem lies. We all have a social energy tank. It's one tank. It fuels both of our offline relationships and our online relationships. It does not distinguish between if you are expending that energy into a friendship on Facebook or if you are expending that energy into a friendship face-to-face and in person. There's no distinction. So I read this study. It was Dr. Dunbar. He's not a pastor, okay? He's Dr. Dunbar from Oxford University. And he's in the psychology department there. And he did a study on relationships. And he determined that as humans, we have a limit to the number of people we can actually invest our social energy into. So the number is 150. So when I said this number to my very introverted husband, he said, "You mean 10? I was like, "Nope." 150. Now, it does not distinguish between if that person is someone you are corresponding with face-to-face or if you're corresponding with them online. It's just 150 people that you can invest your time and energy into. All right? So according to his study, we have three levels of friendships or relationships. All right, you have this inner core, and I'm trying really hard because I kind of talk with my hands, so I'm really trying not to. So we have this inner core that we relate to, all right? Those are our five people. No more than five people are in that inner core. These are the people that you invest time in at least once per week. When you move out from that into your center core, this is your next 15. These are the people you invest time with maybe once a month or every 2 months, all right? Again, it can be face-to-face or online. It doesn't matter, but you have the capacity to reach out to them once a month or once every 2 months. And then as you move out, the whole circle of all 150 people, this is your outer core. There's 150, and you invest time in those people maybe once a year, all right? So that's why you can get 150, baby, because they're out there. You only see them once a year. You're good. All right. It's really five. Don't worry. We got you. So as you move out, obviously you're spending less and less time with each of those people. So I want you to understand something, because you may be sitting there going, "Oh, great. Here's Michelle. She's going to be knocking social media all day." The young people are like, "We like our social media, right?" I like my social media too. I'm not even going to lie. Sorry, I was looking at you, not because I think you're doing that, but you smiled at me, so you got me. So I am not knocking social media. I think when used properly, social media is a super valuable tool. All right, it helps us connect with people that we can't see face to face. It helps us connect with people that we haven't seen in a really long time and find them. Because you know that little story Facebook said, maybe you should friend this person. It finds people we know. It's kind of smart like that. And you know, it's really cool. Like looking at Trevor and I, he has family still in Canada. He's from Canada, so he still has family up there. He has cousins in Scotland. Do you think I would see their children growing up if it wasn't for Facebook? No. So I love social media. I am not bashing it. But we are limited in the number of people we can invest our time in, so we've got to stop spending so much time there. Because what the study showed is there's two limiting factors to that number of 150. It's that social energy tank. We only have so much energy to expend, so we've got that. And then the second limiting factor is time. Because we only have so much time in the day, and you have the same amount of time I have each and every day. None of us get extra time. So we can't build these relationships solely online. We need to be spending time face-to-face with people, because our studies are showing that we live in a society that is more connected than ever before. I mean, can you get to your spouse in a moment's notice? Yes, because you have a computer in your back pocket at all times. You can call them, text them, Facebook them, video call, FaceTime, whatever, at a moment's notice. We are so connected right now that we're never disconnected, to be honest. But in the society where we are living so connected, studies are showing that we're living more lonely and isolated than ever before. And it's because we're spending all of our energy and all of our time investing in those online behind-the-screen friendships, and we're not having time with each other, even when the person's laying right in the bed beside of us. They have shown this year, in 2019, the studies show that Americans spend an average of 2 hours and 22 minutes on social media every single day. That didn't even count your work time, your TV time, whatever it is that you've got built in. Doesn't even count all that. So it's taking away from that time we can spend face-to-face. And you know what's happening? We're all going to end up like this poor guy. 2,000 Facebook friends and 4 are at his funeral. I don't want to, I'm calling him Bob because he doesn't have a name. I don't want to be Bob, all right? I want to have real meaningful relationships with the people in my life. Again, not knocking our social media. I'm not knocking our online friendships at all. But I want to build these real belly-to-belly friendships in my life. Now, we'll say science is great. I love science, all right? Do we all agree God created everything? So does that mean God created science? Yes. All right. I think God created science for us doubting Thomases. You know, show me the holes, right? So science has continuously over and over again proved what God's word teaches us. So I love studying science to learn the earthly proof of what God's been telling us all along. So we need to get into, though, what does God tell us about relationships? Because really, he's the master, and that's who we need to be listening to. So Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So God had created Adam. He had put him in this beautiful garden. He was living in paradise, surrounded him by all these animals that he got to name and play with and frolic and do all those things. And God looks down or looks at him and says, this is not good. He needs to have someone with him. He needs to have companionship, relationship. So from the get-go, God created us to be in relationship because he knew we needed that. In Exodus 33:11, it says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. So God spoke to Moses in many ways, right? I mean, we can have the thunderous coming down from heavens, clap of thunder, telling you what you need to hear. We can have a bush catching on fire. You know, there's all sorts of ways that God can speak to us, and there's impact in those ways. I am not diminishing the impact of God speaking to us in those ways. But God knew he needed to get face to face with Moses. And if you look at the root of that word, it says intimate. So it's about intimate relationship. He had to get intimate with Moses because that was going to be the most impactful way to get to him. It's the same with our relationships. We can have our online relationships. We can talk to each other on Facebook and text messaging and emailing and things like that. There's an impact there for sure. I can send an encouragement through a text message, absolutely. But if I pick up my phone or if I drive over, let's take it a step further, and I look at that person eye to eye and I give them the encouragement they need in that moment, which of those two scenarios do you think is more impactful? For that person, for you, it's the face to face. All right. So this past week, all right, I'm gonna be honest with you. I keep looking at my notes because I wrote this message. It was done last week, but then I went to a women's leadership and empowerment conference in Minneapolis. My girl Anna went with me. We had a blast. Had some face to face time, and some things I heard there completely changed this message. So I flew back from Minneapolis yesterday, and I sat on the plane, and I rewrote this message. So if you're wondering why I have to keep coming back to my notes, it's because I wrote it last night. But that's how God works, right? He took me to this conference because he knew this was what I needed to bring to you guys. So I'm at this conference. Beautiful women are speaking. I met this one particular lady. Her name is Lauren Schwab. We're going to get a picture of us there. All right, beautiful, bright light of a human being. I don't even know how to describe just her presence. She was awesome. And she was there to talk to us about how to make your perfect morning, right? And her mission is getting unplugged. She had an acronym. There's a whole thing. Not going to go into it. So it was about getting unplugged so that you could have a good morning, which would in turn mean you had a good day, all right? So she's talking to us, and she makes this statement, almost in passing, mind you. I lived in a cave for 60 days. I was like, that must have been a joke. Like, you don't say, I lived in a cave for 60 days, and then move on to the next thing, and not dive into that a little bit, right? So she finally did. She came back. She dove into it. And what it was is she had done a reality TV show, and she literally lived in a cave for 60 days. With six people. There was no electricity. There were no lights. There was no computer. No Wi-Fi. There was no running water. And there was no toilet. That's where I got stuck for a while. I'm just not even going to lie. None of that. In a cave. She said when it got dark at night, it got dark in the cave. When the sun came up, we had light again. But knowing that this is a reality TV show, you know that's not where it ends, right? Because producers don't put six people in a cave, put cameras on them, and say, that's the show. No. There was another piece to this. So at this same time, there were six people living in a house. It was a completely connected house. It had a name. I can't remember the name. So I'm calling it Alfred for today. It's not the name, but it is for today. So the six people living in Alfred, they could say, Alfred, I'd like a filet mignon. Up would pop a chef and create them the steak of their dreams. Alfred, my neck's a little tired. I need a massage. Up would pop a masseuse with a folding table and give them a nice little neck massage. But again, this is a reality TV show. They want nothing more than ratings, right? So they took it a step further. In the cave was a wall that they could see through into Alfred. So you've got six people living in a cave, no electricity, no computers, no toilet. And they can look over and see someone getting a massage or eating a filet mignon. These people are over here trying to figure out how to floss their teeth using some hay they found on the ground in the back of the cave. All right? So, of course, there was a purpose in the producers doing this. It was to create this jealousy and turmoil and get ratings up or blah, blah, blah. Well, Lauren, I told you, she is a beautiful light of a human being. All right? She looks over there. She sees what's happening. And she noticed, guys, look at them. They're living in this house. They have everything they can ask for. And we have not seen a single one of them talk to each other today. They weren't living connected. They were in a completely connected house, but they were so disconnected, they didn't even know the name of the people who were living in this house with them. And it's not like it was some big mansion where they each had 2,000 square feet of their own. It was small, and they could see everything they were doing, but they weren't talking. Eventually, Lauren did go on to say, we don't go to the wall anymore. We don't look. We don't even look at what they're doing. We're going to focus on us, and we're going to survive our 60 days, much to the not happiness of the producers, I'm sure. So that's what they decided to do. And do you know what happened with these cave dwellers and Alfred livers? That's a funny word. The folks living in the cave came out more connected than ever before. They were the best of friends. They've hiked Mount Kilimanjaro together because they spent 60 days in a cave relying on nothing but themselves and what they could find in that cave, building community, building relationship, and getting to know each other. The people who were living with Alfred, they came out, and it was, bye, see you later. They never spoke again because they didn't form a relationship. Why did they need to? They had everything they need. Alfred was the only person that they needed to know. So, like I said, we're living in this society that is so connected, like Alfred, right? Get anything you want in a moment's notice. My goodness, if you're hungry, it'll show up at your door. You want your groceries? They show up at your door. Like, we are so connected. But we're isolated and alone. So how do we combat that? How do we combat this lack of connection and this feeling of isolation? Because we need to, because it's causing a real problem in our culture when people are this sad. We see it on the news. And it breaks my heart when I see that someone took their own life because they didn't have anyone in their life. But they had people. They just weren't there face to face. So it breaks my heart. So 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So the key is fellowship. What is fellowship? I wanted to really understand what is fellowship. So I studied the word and looked up the meaning to figure it out. And it's so simple, y'all. Like when I read it, I was like, wow. It's just a bunch of fellows living in the same ship. I'm kidding. That was a joke. A couple of you laughed. 8:30 service, I actually had a couple of them ringed in. They were like, whoo. It was great. No, it really is. Honestly, it's basically friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest. That is what being in fellowship means. It's sharing our lives. It's living in the light. It's being authentic. It's being transparent. It's sharing what's going on in our lives. And this is key to our relationship with Christ. Amen? Because if I don't know how to live in fellowship with my friend Anna, if I can't spend 4 days in a hotel room with her and live in fellowship with her, how can I understand my fellowship with Christ? I can't. God gave us relationships so that we would understand how to be in relationship with Him. It always comes back to Him. Agreed? So that's why here at Christ the King, we talk so much about community groups. I know Justin mentioned it in the opening that, you know, there's community groups here at Christ the King, but we are so passionate about people being in a community group because it is there not just that you're going to form relationships and fellowships with people that you love and that you want to spend time with, but you're going to learn how to be in fellowship with your loving Father and Creator. So if you don't have one, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to do a shameful plug. Make sure you stop by out there today and you find one. Because I promise there's one that's going to fit you and your family, your time, your schedule. Every argument you got for me, we got an answer. So stop by. Oops, stop by there and get it. Sorry, I get a little. Whew. All right. So how do we live in fellowship? I'm going to share. I like practical, right? I like lists and I like practical things. So I'm going to share with you 10, just 10 of the one another's in the Bible. So there are 10 one another's of staying connected. There's lots. And actually, I put them in your home study notes to study more. But today, we're going to go through my 10 favorite. You may find others that are yours. So number one, and these are in your notes, either in your app or right there. And Brenda loves you. She didn't make you fill in the blank this week. So give her a hug if you see her. So the first one is love one another. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So when it says to love someone else like Christ loved us, that might seem a bit daunting because he loved us pretty good, don't you think? But really all it means, if you want to get to the simplest form of it, is put them above you, care about their needs more than your own. That's loving them. We're not talking romantic love. We're talking brotherly love, right? That's all you got to do. So that's your first one. Number two is honor one another. Romans 12:10. I love how scripture is just straightforward. Honor one another above yourselves. So honoring someone means that you are going to show them and give them respect. And I know not everyone earns your respect, but don't you think that if you are showing someone respect and giving them respect, it might change something inside of them? It might soften their heart where they start living a life that is deserving of your respect. It's cyclical, right? Someone who never receives respect probably thinks they don't deserve respect, so why live like they do? Show people respect, right? Or honor one another. Number three, accept one another. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you to bring praise to God. Now, I want to say, if a group of us believers, that's you sitting right here in this room, right? If we as a group started to practice this type of acceptance of people, this type of Christ-like acceptance, do you think the world out there might sit up and take notice? I do. Here's the thing. Let's think about those people living in a cave. Do you think the producers pick 6 people, same background, same age, same skin color, same political beliefs, same religious beliefs? Do you think they pick 6 people that were the same? No, because that would have stunk for their ratings, right? They wanted to pick 6 people that couldn't be more different than one another so that maybe there would be a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of fighting, a little bit of bickering, and that would raise their results of people watching the show. But that group of people, our cave dwellers that I've brought to you today, they decided to love and respect each other. They decided it didn't matter where they came from, what their political beliefs were. They just respected each other and respected that they had a different opinion than them and they could live together for 60 days in a cave. I mean, come on. All right, number four, share burdens with one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we've already determined we were not meant to walk this walk alone, right? God created Adam, and then he's like, nope, got to give him a partner. He created Eve because we needed relationship. We were not meant to walk this walk alone. And that means we weren't meant to struggle through whatever we're struggling through alone. He gave us people. We've got 3 cores of people. You've got your inner core of 5, then your 15, then your 150. There is a lot of people in your life that can share a burden with you. But they have to know there's a burden in the first place, right? You have to know they have a burden. And when you're not face to face, it's so easy not to know what they're going through. Because I can sit on my Instagram, snap the perfect selfie, and in the next room is complete chaos and turmoil in my life. But the people that I just posted that to don't see it. They just see, oh, look, she's here or she's there. She's doing this. Everything's perfect. Her life's grand. They don't know what really goes on behind the scenes. You've got to get face to face with people so that they can see what's really happening in your life. And then they can share in those burdens with you. And on that note, number 5, be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32, the first part of that scripture says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. So what this means is that we reply or respond, rather, to people's needs in a gracious way. That doesn't mean financial. I mean, if your friend needs 10 bucks to get gas, okay, give them 10 bucks. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about other types of needs. I'm talking your friend just messed up bigger than they ever thought possible. I mean, they messed up. You have a choice. You can relive their mess up with them, tell them all the different ways that they did it wrong and what they should have done differently and what were you thinking. But the last thing they need is for you to recap what they did. They just need you to be kind and meet them where they are and love them. Share their burden with them. Honor them. They just need you to do that. That's what responding to someone's needs mean. All right? Are y'all getting me? Okay. All right. It's a little quiet in the room, so I can't tell if you're still awake. I can't see eyeballs. We're good. All right. Number 6, forgive one another. So the second part of that Ephesians 4:32 says, it continues, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. So forgiving other people. We've heard plenty of messages on forgiveness. I don't need to sit up here and tell you what being forgiven means or what giving forgiveness means. I don't need to do that. But I do want to say, when we practice this with our people, when we offer forgiveness to people who have hurt us in some way, we are experiencing in a very practical way the forgiveness that's been given to us by Christ. Because he forgave us for way more than we're ever going to have to forgive somebody on this earth for. And when we offer that little bit of forgiveness to someone, we're experiencing just a taste of what Christ did for us. There's meaning in that. Number 7, encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So what's today called? Today. When we get to tomorrow, what's tomorrow called? Today. Are you ever going to get to today, a day where you don't call it today? No. So you encourage people every single day. Who in your circles needs some encouragement today? Encourage them. Give them a call. Meet them for coffee. Whatever. Give some encouragement to someone because it's today. Number 8, be accountable to one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. This one's hard. We don't like to be open and honest all the time, do we? It's easier just to hide our junk sometimes. But that's not living in relationship. We've got to confess it, because if the people in our lives don't know what's happening, they certainly can't share our burden, correct? So you have to be open. You have to be transparent. You have to walk in the light. Don't hide behind a screen and pretend everything's rosy. Be honest with people. Now, I'm not saying go blast your Facebook feed with all your woes either. I'm not saying that. But the people who are closest to you, that inner 5 or 15, share with them what's going on in your life. Be accountable to them so that they can do 1 through 8 with you. Number 9, then we move into pray for one another. Do you see how these are kind of building on each other, right? They all build. That's why I love these 10. That's why I chose these 10. James 5:15 says, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. All right, earlier in this series, when Pastor Craig was talking about being face-to-face with our children, he challenged us to pray out loud with our kids. I want to say, you're going to pray out loud with all your relationships, your spouse. I mean, I talked about that the week of the spouse being face-to-face with our spouses. But we need to be doing this with our friends, too. I have a group of 2 ladies. We get together once a week for 30 minutes, air quotes. It usually goes longer. We get together. We talk about what's going on in our lives, things that are stressing us out, things that are making us happy, things we are most grateful for, things that just are like, ah, you know, we talk about all those things, and then we leave. No, we don't. We spend the rest of our time together praying for and with each other out loud. It's intimate. You can't have a more intimate relationship than with someone that you pray with. because they know it all. Because when you pray, you bare your heart. So who are those people? Who are your people that you can spend that time with? I'm not talking spouses. You do that. We need to do that. I'm not saying that. These are those other people in those circles. Who can you be spending time with and praying for them? And then number 10, be at peace with one another. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. So cave living means that you are living in peace and harmony. And that sounds like frolicking in a pasture with birds chirping and butterflies flittering about and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Disney's version of peace and harmony. I'm talking about our real life human version of peace and harmony. Because here's the thing. If you're doing numbers 1 through 9, if you're doing all those things, you're going to have peace in your relationships. Would you agree with that? But why do we want it? Why do we want to do this face-to-face thing? Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So it isn't good to be alone. We were created to be in a relationship. We've already talked about that. And technology can do nothing to replace those personal relationships. If I'm at home and I fall down in my house and I can't get up, Facebook ain't gonna help me. Y'all can like and react and ha-ha my status that I just fell down all you want to, but Facebook is not gonna get me up off that floor. It's gonna take a person, a physical person coming into my life to walk in there and pick me up out of that floor. If Trevor travels for work, it's usually not so bad, but we've had a season of life where he has traveled a lot. He'd be gone a week, home a couple days, gone again, home a couple days, but we're just coming through the other side of a 3-week stint of him being on business trip. He went to Ohio. We talked on the phone. We texted. We emailed. We even did a video FaceTime call a couple of times when we had time. Now, if you know Trevor and I, you know we're very close, all right? We've walked a valley, and we've come out, and we're very close. We're very committed to one another. We share the same passions, the same mission, and we live that mission every single day as a husband and wife and family. But when he came back from those 3 weeks, it was like we had forgotten how to even interact with each other. We didn't know how to talk to each other. We knew how to yell at each other a couple times, but we didn't know how to like really be connected to each other. Remember that Dunbar study I told you about, that inner core of 5? If you go 4 weeks without that face-to-face interaction with them, they're going to fall into your next core. Well, we were a week short of proving that study, all right? Because one more week and he'd have been in my 15 and that would have been it, right? Like, I'm just being honest with you, right? I said be honest and transparent and all that jazz, so I got to do it, even if I'm up here with a microphone. So I want to ask you about your week this week. Think about Tuesday. Just what were you doing Tuesday? Were you living in a cave or were you connected to Alfred? So just think, I obviously don't answer. Think about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Were you cave living or Alfred connected this past week? Because here's the thing, being connected to Alfred is not bad. We can have our Alfred time. We can be connected to whatever and do those things, absolutely. But when you're doing it every day, day in, day out, you're spending no time in the cave because you don't even see the caves over there. You can't even see through the wall to see that there's the cave living is possible. We've got to be spending time in our cave with our people and building those relationships. It's no joke because we are running the risk in this society of a future generation that no longer even knows how to have real relationship. We are seriously running that risk, and that breaks my heart. I don't want my kids to not know how to live in relationship with someone. So I have a challenge for each of you today. So Hebrews 10:25 says, tells us not to neglect meeting together. So we have lots of one another's we went over today. There's more. You can study those in your notes. But your challenge this week, and I'm serious, I want you to do this. Your challenge is 3 people. Who are 3 people that your gut right now, and I'm talking that visceral, like that's the Holy Spirit, by the way, is sitting there kicking you in the gut and saying, these 3 people need you. And I want you to take a minute. We're going to do it right now. You all have your study notes or in your app or whatever. If you don't, just grab a piece of paper or Sharpie, write it on your hand. I don't care. I want you to write down, I want to take just a minute, and I want you to write down three people that you are going to intentionally reach out to this week and get cavey with them. All right? Can we all agree to get a little cavey? Yes? Okay. So you can meet with the three of them individually. You can bring them all together as a small group. It does not matter as long as you are belly to belly, face to face, meeting with these three people. Go ahead and write down your names. It has been an absolute privilege for me to share this message with you. I love how God works. He obviously never makes a mistake. When Craig wrote out this series and the topics that he wanted covered, he put them on a sheet of paper, asked for availability, and I was available today. I got this one by divine intervention because God knew I needed to study this for these past few weeks. He knew I needed to dive deeper because he had some conviction for me of some areas in my life and the areas of my family's life that we need to change. Another statement I heard this week at this conference was just from another bright light human being. Her name is Angelique Norrie, and she was talking about how conviction has such a negative connotation. When you hear that word, you're like, I don't want to be convicted. That sounds painful, right? Because it is. Sometimes it's like a knife in the gut. It's hard. But she made the statement, and I love this. She said, conviction is nothing more than your awesome Father, your Creator, inviting you to change. It's an invitation. And I just thought that was the most beautiful definition of that word that I had ever heard. So I want to say to you, if you felt some conviction today, if you felt that in your gut and you're like, oh, I've been failing there, congratulations, because you just received a personal invitation from your Creator to make a change, and I want to challenge you to do that. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious Father, I praise you and I thank you so much for this day, for this room, for every person sitting in this room. God, I pray for all relationships. God, I pray for the three names that is on every single sheet of paper in this room. God, I pray for conviction, for people to find those three people. And God, I pray for them to follow through with your urging to them to connect with them. God, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for creating us. And I want to thank you for knowing that we couldn't do this alone and giving us companions to do this life with. God, please bless marriages, bless families, bless friendships, bless boyfriend, girlfriends, fiancés, whatever. I want you to bless every relationship today, God. We thank you. We love you for loving us so very much and giving us your perfect example. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.